If you have a Bible with you, or your phone, or your app, or whatever you use, I'm going to ask you, if you feel like it, just lift it up with me this morning. And if you're so inclined, just repeat after me, okay? This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. I can be what it says I can be. Redeemed. Cleansed. Sanctified, forgiven, saved, enlightened, and so much more. It is a light unto my path. It is a lamp unto my path and a light unto my feet. I knew I was going to mess that up. Amen. Amen. When I was a kid growing up, some of you have heard me speak before. I grew up in Americus, Georgia, a little town in South Georgia. And our neighborhood would play a game. All the kids would get together, be 10, 12 kids getting together on a Saturday afternoon or summertime. It could be any evening or afternoon. It was called Red Rover, Red Rover. Anybody play that? Okay. So, you know, the premise is you choose up your sides. And then you're holding hands. I got to keep this mic here. You're holding hands. And then you call someone from the other side. Red Rover, Red Rover, send Billy, Jane, or you know, whoever, right over. And they had to break through that. And if they broke through the bond there between the two people, they get to take someone to their side. That's how we play the game. If they didn't, then they had to stay with you. And, of course, the one with the most people at the end of the game were the winners. This morning, I want to speak about breakthrough. And breakthrough comes in many different forms. I also, in Americus, Georgia, I was in the band. I was not the sports guy. I knew sports people. When I was a senior in high school, I was a drum major, and I was sitting up in the stands with the band. And back then, we had a young quarterback, sophomore quarterback, by the name of Chan Gailey. You might have heard of him. And he went on, I think, played for the University of Florida and became a great coach. I hear he retired again. So, but we were in choir together, youth choir, at First Baptist Church there in Americus, Georgia. And after I graduated, lost track of Chan, but he ended up being great. But he would do this football thing when he was quarterback. And I was up in the stands, and I could see it happening, where he would take the ball. And, of course, I think somebody can help. I think it's called a quarterback sweep. Not keep or sneak, but sweep. And he would fake a handoff, but then he would be running along, and it was almost like he was going to pass it. And everybody downfield was looking for the pass, and then he tucked that ball in and run around the corner, break through the line of scrimmage, and he was free for 3 or 4 seconds. And then, boom, breakthrough. There are people here today, if not everyone, looking for a breakthrough in your own life, maybe in the life of someone else, or maybe both. And there are a lot of scriptures we could go through. I had so many that Phil said, listen, we're doing two services. You've got to cut some scriptures out. So I did cut my scriptures back. But in order to get through this for this service, I'm asking you just bear with me as we go through three scripture references rather quickly, but I'll make some comments here and there about breakthrough. And I hope we see that breakthrough leads to breakout, leads to freedom. Amen? Amen? Yeah. So turn with me to the book of Daniel's. Daniel, it's one of the prophets, a little over halfway through your Bible, if you have your Bible with you. And we're going to begin at in chapter 6 of Daniel. And at this point, let me give you a little bit of background. Daniel is pretty well known. He's been held captive in Babylon. He was one of the captives that were taken. He's served under two other kings, and now he's serving under King Darius. And he made a name for himself. He was interpreting dreams, interpreting writings on the wall. And so King Darius was setting up 120 officials to help govern the land. And Daniel was one of them, but he did so well, the king was deciding to put Daniel over everything. So these officials got a little jealous, and they said, we got to do something about that. So they came up with this plan. The only way we can get to Daniel is do something about his God. So they went to the King Darius and said, King, let's make it a rule for 1 month, and it can't be broken by anyone, a rule that says no one can pray but to you for a whole month. And the king agreed to it for whatever reason. Now we're going to pick up in Daniel chapter 6, verse 13. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays 3 times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and make every effort until sundown to save him. He wasn't distressed because Daniel broke the rule. He was distressed because this is my main man. I'm trusting this guy. And all of a sudden, I got to live up to what I put in writing, this edict I put in writing. Verse 15. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, they were relentless. Remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you. Now, whether the king realized it or not, that was a prayer. That was a prayer. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. Verse 19. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he wasn't even quite there yet. He called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue from the lions? Daniel answered. Can you say breakthrough? Breakthrough. The voice of the king going into the lion's den, the voice of Daniel coming out. We're about to see a breakthrough. Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. It's called breakout, breakthrough, breakout. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted his God. Freedom. Amen. Breakthrough to break out to freedom. Now let's turn to the book of Mark in the New Testament. One book past Matthew, and we're going to be on chapter 2. And I'll give you a little bit of background here. Jesus had in chapter 1, we can read, Jesus had been in the area of Capernaum, and he had done some miracles there. He was healing the sick. He had cast out those who were oppressed by demons. And he said, let's go to some other villages, and they did. And now he's back in Capernaum, Mark chapter 2, verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. And after digging through it, it's called breakthrough. After digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves. I think it was Chad a couple of weeks ago. Devil don't know your thoughts, but the Lord does. Amen. Amen. Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Breakthrough. Now that is, he's about to break out. All right? He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. Freedom. Yes? This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." There's a lot in that scripture, particularly Jesus and some of the teachers of the law that we could get into. But the main thing is to see, this man had friends that had faith to go to the trouble of breaking through to lower him so that their friend could break out and be free. Amen. I think we'll begin to see prayer, faith, and trust plays a lot in getting the breakthrough. Prayer, faith, and trust. Sometimes it's faith, trust, and prayer. It doesn't matter what order it comes in. Okay? Now, one more scripture. Ooh, I'm doing good. You know, a little nervous when you got to do two and you're limited on the first one. Sorry. Acts chapter 12. I was going to begin at verse 5, but I want to back up to verse 4. Again, let me give you a little background here. King Herod has been putting some of the original apostles of Jesus in jail, and he has killed a couple already. And Herod saw that this kind of pleased the people, particularly the Jewish people. And so he said, "Well, I'm going to go for Peter." And he does. He arrests Peter. So we're going to pick up at chapter 12, verse 4. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers. That's 16 guards, but they took shifts, four through the night shift. I think it's every 3 hours. So four people guarding Peter throughout the night. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Prayer. Verse 6. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a great light shone in the cell. Breakthrough. As a breakthrough. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said. And the chains fell off of Peter's wrist. Verse 8. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angels told him. And Peter followed him out the prison. Breakout. Okay? But he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. We could go into that a little bit, but if you look a couple chapters back in 10, Peter's already had a vision. We're not going to go into that. That's why he probably thought, man, this is another vision. Okay. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gates leading to the city. It opened for them by itself. Freedom. And they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself. Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda, I love that, came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter's at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." Well, it was before, but not now, okay? Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the brothers about this," he said, and then left for another place. Breakthrough, the breakout to freedom. What kind of breakthrough are you seeking? I'll share one briefly that Sarah and I walked through a few years ago. My wife, Sarah. In December 2016, she had a heart event. She didn't tell me until 2 days later. 2 days later, "I think I got trouble with my heart." I said, "Let's get in the car and go." And she spent the night in the hospital and ran some tests. They said they couldn't find anything. But they said, "Do follow up with your primary doctor," which we did. And the primary doctor said, "There must be something going on." So the one test she did that proved that she probably needed to see a cardiologist that they did not do in the hospital was she laid Sarah flat down and then brought her up quickly and her blood pressure go bottom up. And she said, "We're going to get you in with a cardiologist," which we did. Dr. William Hancock in Tifton, Georgia. That's where we were living. A good Christian man. And we have many conversations about this book that he and I both love and other books that we may be reading concerning the Lord. And he, for about 15 months, he had Sarah on a couple of different type medications, and they made a difference, but it wasn't quite right. So around February or March of, now we're in 2018, that was December 2016, we've gone through a year, he said, "I've got a colleague up in Emory I want you to go see." And he said, I'm going to put it in, and they will contact you." Well, we were waiting, and no contact from Emory. So we were part of a home group at my daughter's house, my daughter Amy. And all we would do would get together, eat, bring food, and take prayer requests. And then we would pray for those requests. And then the next week we would say, "Okay, what's been answered?" We were amazed at what was being answered by the Lord through these prayers. So that was our home group. Prayer requests and then praise reports of what was being answered. So we would go around. Of course, Sarah and I went around. We need that appointment at Emory. So my son-in-law, Joel, Amy's husband, said, "I'm going to pray for Mom." And he did. And he prayed, "Lord, let them hear tomorrow from Emory." And he said, "And when those doctors get together, let them have a seed of thought that will flourish into a healing for Mom." I've never heard words come out of my son-in-law like that before. He's a little rough around the edges, but he nailed it in that prayer. And so we took that, we started standing, we trusted what he was hearing from the Lord, and we stood on faith. The very next day, Emory called, and we set up the appointment. Now, and I forget if it was a week or 10 days or how long we had to wait, but we had the appointment. When we saw the doctor, and he had all of Dr. Hancock's notes, and he said, he came, went out of the room for a while and came back in. He said, I've just been consulting the doctors with each other. And he said, we don't know why. He said, some people come in to us and they think they need a pacemaker. He said, but they don't. And we have to do something else with them. He said, there's some people that come in here and we say, you're not leaving this place until you have a pacemaker. He said, Sarah, you're kind of in between there. We're not quite sure if it'll help, but it's probably not going to hurt. He said, Dr. Hancock and I agreed that let's put in a pacemaker. And he said, now, Dr. Hancock and Tipton can do it. He's done it many, 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 many times. He knows what he's doing. So we scheduled it, and in May of 2018, Sarah had her pacemaker put in. It was like a miracle. You know, God can work through doctors. It was like a miracle. And before, she couldn't even walk across a parking lot, like from Walmart to the front entrance, no matter how close we parked, because her heart wasn't pumping right. But after that, man, there was a pep in her step. So, breakthrough. What breakthrough are you seeking? As we read through that scripture in Peter, it said his chains fell off. There are all different kind of chains in our lives. They're actually chains of actual imprisonment. You're behind bars. I've prayed for many an inmate who was behind bars for their freedom, for their early release, or whatever. There are chains of doubt. There are chains of fear. There are chains of sickness and disease and infirmities. There are chains of unhealthy relationships. There are chains of finances and debt. There are chains of darkness. There are chains of unforgiveness. Chad was touched on that a couple of weeks ago, too. That can eat you alive. There are chains of hate. There are chains of resentment. There's chains of the past. What breakthrough are you looking for? There was a few years back, I had a dream and I had to get up and write it down because it was so vivid for me. The Lord was talking to me about people not being able to get through their past. And what he showed me, he said, there are people walking through life like this. And he said, and there are people walking through life like this. Not looking forward. He said, and then there really are people walking through life like this. Not knowing who to follow. But they're looking at the past. God wants to break that past off. There's someone here today, whether it's here or in Hawassi, I think Hawassi gets this message, the next one's streaming. He wants to break that, break through that, break you out of it, and give you freedom. And if that's you, I want to pray for you sometime this morning. There's a breakout. We can go from the breakout from doubt to freedom of hope. Break out from chains of fear to the freedom of peace. We can break out from sickness, disease, infirmities to health and wholeness and well-being. We can break out from unhealthy relationships to the freedom of godly and kingdom and covenant relationships. We can break out from overwhelming financial difficulties to the freedom of debt-free living. That can happen. We can break out from darkness to the freedom of His glorious light. We can break out from unforgiveness to the freedom of His grace. Total forgiveness of the past, of the present, and of our future. We can break out from the freedom of hate to the freedom of love. You name it, it can be broken through. But what if the breakthrough doesn't come when you expect it to come? What then? And this was a hard part for me to put together. What if the breakthrough doesn't come exactly when you expect it or when you want it? What if it doesn't come? Prayer, faith, and trust. Anyway. There's another scripture, and we're not going to turn to it, but it's in Daniel chapter 3, and it's about three men who were put into a fiery furnace because they would not bow down to the idol the king made and worship that idol. And they told the king, "We are trusting that our God will deliver us. But even if He doesn't, we're not going to bow down to your idol, regardless of whether we're rescued or not." When I was preparing this and I got to this part, the Lord kind of took me back to that old game we used to play as children, Red Rover, Red Rover. And I hope this makes sense to you. It makes sense to me. What He showed me was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit holding hands, like in the Red Rover game. And He said, "There's going to be some day, Morris, when your name's going to be called. And they're not going to be saying Red Rover, Red Rover. They're going to say, Morris, it's time to come." And what I saw was them holding hands, and then all of us, when I'm running to them, I'm not breaking through, they let go, and their arms are wide, receiving me, wrapping around me. Can't tell you how many times Sarah and I have sat with someone on a hospital bed praying for a breakthrough, and the breakthrough comes with them when God calls them. Amen. Holding their hand while they break through to the heavenly realm. But in any and all situations, never stop being expectant through prayer, through faith, through trust in Him. I'm going to call the worship team back up. And I'm going to put a couple things out there for you to consider. And it's going to require you being bold this morning to seek that breakthrough, to trust that if I get out of my seat and come down and say I need a breakthrough, that the breakout will happen. And the freedom that you're seeking will happen. Now, I can't say that it'll happen this moment, this day, this week, next week. But if you'll allow me to stand with you in your breakthrough, that's what I want to do. And as they begin praying, there's someone specifically here, whether it's here or Hawassi, and I'm going to announce it again at the next service, that's seeking a breakthrough concerning barrenness. And the Lord said, there's freedom coming. There's a womb that's going to be fruitful. And if that happens to be you, I want to pray for you this morning and have my wife come up and pray with us. There's someone seeking freedom from your past. I went through those steps with you. If that's you, break out of your seat and let's pray. And I'm just going to do it very simple. I'm just joining what God's already doing for the breakthrough. I'm not going to pray some elaborate prayer over you. If you're up here standing in faith for that, I'm just going to lay my hands on you and I'm going to say, breakthrough for the glory of God. Because it's not my glory. It's not your glory. He gets the glory for the breakthrough. Sometimes I get these specific words, and this one is for a businessman. You put together a business plan, and or you're in the process of it, but you need a breakthrough in getting that presented. Okay? I want to pray for you. So I'm going to be down front right here as we start singing, and I'm going to encourage you. Don't let this breakthrough pass you by. It's not like it can never happen again. I'm just saying Holy Spirit is here today. Whether it's medical, whether it's relationships, whether it's forgiveness, whether it's finances, the breakthrough is here. And he's moving this morning. Amen.